Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, and Dolly Howard. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Turn away from disaster, arise inside. Choose your heart as a master.
And welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It is June 23rd, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. And yes, we had problems with the stream, but it seems to have settled down, so hopefully we will not be interrupted. But if we are, we are just going to continue to record. And hi, guys.
Good evening,
hi, Walter.
Everybody.
How you doing?
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Dolly.
Hi, y'all.
So, what do you got to say for yourselves?
I'm looking at the text that you sent.
Just now? I sent it an hour ago.
Oh, I know.
Text or email?
She sent an email.
Yeah,
I sent you.
A piece called Irony.
Well, yes, it was posted in Facebook. And I start reading this thing, you know, and I'm going like, oh, wow, this is, you know, I mean, it's very long, but my gosh, this person really kind of like hits every single, you know, discord.
She hit every button, yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciated it. So we don't know who actually started it because the signing on it is a friend, an unknown.
But it has a title there, who wrote it.
Oh, but it's got two people.
No.
I know what you mean.
No, the first one is the person who actually posted it in Cosmic Reality Wall.
And then there's a person who wrote the text.
No, I don't think so. I think that was a post. I don't think that person wrote it. I think they had copied it. Because at the bottom of it, it says an unnamed friend. Something like
copied
that.
From a friend. Oh, okay, so you're saying that this Jeremiah Schultz actually copied it from somebody else?
Yeah, copied from a friend, yes. Yes.
So
we don't exactly know who it is that wrote this, but we might as well just start with it because, and interrupt Dolly at any time, because so much of this, you know, kind of makes you think about, you know, more. So let's just use it as an outline for the show.
Okay.
Sound reasonable?
Okay.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, so the title of this piece is called Irony. And it begins. I'm so confused right now. I see signs all over saying Black Lives Matter. I'm just trying to figure out which black lives matter. When it's not black cops, they don't seem to matter. It's not my black conservative friends. They are told to shut the F up. If they know what's best for them by their black counterparts. It's not black business owners. Their property does not mean anything. It's not blacks who fought for the military. Their statues are destroyed by the Black Lives Matter protesters with disdain. So which Black Lives Matter again? I can't keep up. I just can't. I'm exhausted trying to figure out what we're all supposed to do, believe, and be offended and outraged by next. 2 months ago, first responders were all the rage. In fact, they were heroes. We gave them free coffee, meals, and cheers as they drove by. Today, we hate them and want them defunded because they can't be trusted. 2 months ago, truck drivers were the heroes as well for keeping America moving and the grocery stores stocked. Today, we block the roads with protesters, drag them out of the cabs, and beat them half to death. Nurses and doctors are still cool for now, but they might be unemployed. They too are heroes, unless, of course, they truly believe all lives matter. Then they're filled with hate and are a part of the problem like so many others. Just 45 days ago, protests weren't essential, in quotes, and were considered criminal, selfish, and a murderous activity. Today, they are gloriously critical and celebrated. All of the obvious criminal and murderous activities are simply ignored. If you protest about lockdowns for freedom, you are selfish and will spread a virus. If you protest, loot, and riot for social justice, you are a warrior, and the virus seeds. Trust the experts. No, no, not those experts. Don't wear masks. Wear masks, but only good ones. Wait, don't wear masks. Wear anything as a mask. Never mind on the masks. Not sure. If you don't, you hate people because you could be an asymptomatic spreader. Wait, that's not a thing. Not a thing anymore. For 3 months, nothing was more important than social distance. In fact, we gave up all our liberties for it. We canceled schools, medical and dental procedures, yet allowed the murder of babies, canceled activities, closed businesses, eliminated every spring rite of passage from prom to graduation, denied people funerals, even at Arlington, and we wrecked the economy for it. Then came social justice, and social distance was no more. Now things are more cut and dry, though. 1,000 people at 3 memorials for someone they never even met. It's a matter of respect, in quotes. But you can only assemble 100 or less people. Black lives matter. Of course they do. But multiple black police officers and individuals were killed during the peaceful protests, in quotes. I don't see any outrage. Black individually owned businesses burned to the ground. Silence. Deadliest weekend in Chicago. Nothing. I'm really confused now. Look at the data. No, not that data. Do the math. No, you can't do the math like that. Only the experts can understand the data and math. What do you mean other cities/states/governors are interpreting the data differently? Pools are safe in Indiana, but not Michigan. Playgrounds are safe in your town, but not mine. Amusement parks are safe in Florida, but not Ohio nor Michigan. Just listen to the black community leaders. No, not them. If you are silent, you are part of the problem. If you speak, you are part of the problem. If you have to ask, you don't understand. If you don't ask, you don't care. It's all so predictable, tedious, and exhausting. Nothing adds up. It's one gigantic common core math life problem, with ever-changing denominators that I'm sure the media and politicians are eagerly ready to solve for us until the next, in quotes, crises. So for now, I cry because I love my friends and my family, no matter what their color, and I pray. I pray God will heal our land and bless the United States of America. Period. There you have it. Irony.
And I so honor the person that sat down and put that in writing, because I'm sure that, you know, no one would say, no, I don't understand what that's about. Well, of course you do, because that's what's happening to us on a daily basis. It's truly amazing.
On this subject, I have to agree with Fulford when he says that they should send the militaries to take control of all the media companies, you know, all the newscasting channels. They should be taken over and make sure that they reveal the truth about anything and everything, because they're the ones that are riding this horse, you know, this wild horse that's out of control. They're the ones holding the reins, because people just eat it with a spoon. Whatever gets put on the news, they lap it up. I don't have television service, but I can see the posts that they do on YouTube. They have an entire channel on COVID-19 news. And if you're a discerning person and you don't believe everything that's put in front of you and just take the time to read, nothing makes sense. You know, in one report they're saying there's 10,000 new cases in X. And then the next one, which is only, they're only hours apart. If only you could say, oh no, the problem is that this is 1 month ago and this is like 2 days ago. And that's why they differ so much. No, you're looking at these posts and they're just hours away. And they're saying same exact place, same exact everything, but it's 3,000 cases. So make up your mind. What is it? Is it 10,000? Who's doing the count? Or is the person that's supposed to be doing the count is so terrified of the virus that they're fudging the numbers?
There is no true number.
There is no true number because there aren't any of those deaths.
Well, the only
my neighbor is arguing.
The only thing that is true is that the deaths have fallen drastically. They keep saying there's more and more and more. Yeah, because you're testing more and more and more, just like the president said. You know, and as a joke, the president said, I told the people, stop testing, stop testing.
Oh, no, you didn't hear his latest.
Oh, what did he say? What did he say?
He was interviewed by the media standing out on the lawn, and he said, I do not joke. That was not a joke. Well,
oh,
yeah. And now I thought it was a joke, too, the way he said it. I think that the Trump who spoke there and the real Trump didn't get together and compare notes. So one is saying one thing and the other is saying another thing. And this is a time when they didn't jive on their sayings.
Well, I don't think, the one that said it didn't say that's a joke. It was the way it was presented that it sounded like a joke. Well, first off, when he said it, I went, uh-oh, they're going to be all over that comment, you know? What we're talking about, Walt, is the rally, when he was giving the speech at the rally.
In Oklahoma?
In Tulsa. To be honest, I couldn't, I had guests and stuff, I couldn't watch it at the time, but Dolly was watching it, and she sends me a message that I don't see until much later, but it was like, oh my God, this is hysterical. And if I had gotten it while I was, you know, over my friend's house, I probably would have ran back to my house to watch it.
I peed my pants a little. I had tears rolling down my face. My cheeks hurt afterward from laughing so hard. It was hysterical. He was telling us about the West Point speech. And they had a ramp that you had to walk up and down to get to the podium, or he had to. And he had leather-soled shoes on. I forgot what the ramp was made of, but it was slippery.
Steel.
It was like a ice skating rink, according to Trump. And he had trouble getting up it. It has no railing, and he was having trouble getting up it. And then they were bitching at him about drinking water with two hands.
No. You're cutting it way too short because this was one of the most hysterical things I've ever seen, specifically because of the way that the president was presenting it. Now, I didn't have I wasn't as lucky as Dolly to get in with the president while he was doing these things, and she got to get kind of, you know, introduced to the Trump way of having a rally. But this was the first time that I actually, you know, wanted to listen to what he was saying. So this was an unusual, I didn't really know what to expect except the president I normally see doing all these press conferences. This guy was the best stand-up comedian I think I've ever experienced. He was so funny, you know, and I'm telling this to Mark, Mark Joseph, and he says to me, do you know that somebody was doing a analysis of the best stand-up comedians, and Trump was like at the top?
I believe it.
Professional people who look at this stuff consider him just to be outrageously good at it. But you gotta, I thought about, you know, and to take the audio of it, but you don't get it because his whole body language, plus the fact that he begins to show you how he was walking down this ramp. But he starts it out and he's saying to, he says to the general, he says, the first thing I did was look at the general's shoes and he had rubber, I had leather. Problem. And he said, I kept seeing myself falling on my ass on this ramp and sliding all the way down. And he said, so he says to the general, he says, "General, I can't do this." And the general says, "Well," and it was like Trump said something like, "I'd have to walk two blocks to get off of this stage." He said, "So, okay, so we got to do this." But he said to the general, he said, "I won't grab you unless I really need to grab you." And so then he starts, he says, "Okay," so he says, I got to take these little steps. You got to understand, I'm trying to not slide down this thing. And he says, "So I'm taking these little steps," and he starts to show us his little steps, right, Dolly? Oh, my God. And he said, "Not only was I taking these tiny little steps, but I was leaned forward. Oh, I look terrible," he says. You know, and and so he's doing it, and he does this, and he says, and you know what? At that moment, the television media, they stopped showing what happened next. But when I got
that down to the end,
when he got ten feet from the end of the ramp, he just ran right by the general, and as he was going by him, he says, "Sorry." Right? Okay. So then he calls his wife and he says, "Did you see? Yeah, I saw it. And how did it go?" And she says, "Well, you're trending all over the place." And he's like, "Would they like the speech?" "Oh, nothing about the speech. It's the fact that you had that problem going down that ramp, and now they've decided you have Parkinson's disease."
Another disease.
I mean, it was like his delivery. Everything is totally awesome. And then he goes through this whole routine about the water. You know, do you want to tell that story? But you got to start with the 600 salutes.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Salutes. Oh, my God. Okay, so the person who was in charge at West Point asked Trump, "Do you want to salute everyone all at once with one salute, or do you want to salute each cadet separately, or do you want to salute them in twos?" And so, of course, Trump said, "I'll salute every one of them separately." It turned out there were 600 of them.
No, he did the two, because there were 1,200 people that were, because when he said one, that the president said, "It's one. My God," he said, "you know, I thought I'd be there forever." And then he said, "Well, we could do them in twos." And so he said 600 times. He had to make a salute. Go on. Sorry to interrupt you, but details.
You go ahead and tell it. I don't tell it right.
Well, because I watched it a few times because I was so impressed with it. It wasn't a one-time deal with me. I was so impressed with the way that he presented it. But then he says, okay, he goes through this routine with the tie in the water. Because the wife asked him, "Did you have any water with you?" And Trump said, "Yes." He said, "You know, I'm out there." And he kept talking about baking in the sun, remember? He says, "I got a sunburn." I'm going like, "When don't you have a sunburn?" But yeah, okay. So he's baking in the sun, but he didn't want to take the water, you know, because he was just into what he was doing. But finally he said, I needed to wet my whistle. You know, I'd been talking for all this time. So then he goes into this whole thing about, "Do you know how easy it is to dribble water out of your mouth and onto your tie? And if it's a red tie, man, it just seems to stand out." He says, "It's terrible. I've done it many times." So he reaches in, and he's got a water glass there in the podium that he's talking on. And he brings it up, and he's got he's in the right hand. He's got his left hand underneath the glass, and he's sipping the water, right? And what was it that he said that they said he had? Oh, Parkinson's. Yeah, it was another disease. It wasn't Parkinson's. I don't know. Maybe it was Parkinson's, because he couldn't hold the glass.
Dementia.
I don't remember what it was, but he couldn't hold the glass with one hand. And he puts down the water and he said, "I had just saluted 600 times. What is the matter with these people?" Oh, my God. It was hysterical.
And he wanted to protect his tie.
He wanted to protect his tie. Yep.
Yeah. So he had tennis elbow. Well, from so much saluting.
But his delivery, I mean, seriously, the guy is very, very good.
And when he was walking down the ramp, he was showing how he was bent over.
Yeah.
That just cracked me up. How he... It doesn't look right.
I mean, oh my God. You know, he stands... I can understand why people who hate him just couldn't even possibly listen to him. Because at one point, he stopped in the middle of something talking about certain bad things, and he said, "Oh, you are so lucky I'm president of the United States."
But did you guys ever see... I just saw it as part of a... you already know that in YouTube, there's all these fail videos and comical videos like Just Wait For It or WTF. And the videos are generally made up of video clips of funny things that are happening, you know, either somebody slipping down and falling or, you know, different things that most people find comical. But in one of these that I was watching, I actually had to rewind it 3 times, and I said to my mom, "Listen to what he's saying." Unfortunately, there's no captioning on a lot of these videos. And what it is, and since you guys are up to speed on all of this and you've been following him and all these political things, it is a recording, and there is a caption at the beginning of this video clip which says somebody left the filter off or he was working without a filter, along those lines. It's a recording of a debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So the clip begins with Hillary Clinton. He's standing, when you're looking at the screen, he's standing off to the left from where she's standing, you know, as if you're looking at the screen. So, and then the camera focuses on her and she says, "I have to say that I'm very relieved that the laws of our country are not in the hands of someone like Donald Trump." And then he pipes in, he interrupts her, and he says, "Yes, because you'd be in jail otherwise." And that's the end of the clip. So it's like he actually did say that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. That was when he got my attention, because he actually said, "And when I'm president, you're going to jail." You know, because, and it was shocking. And she actually, I wish they had, did you see the look on her face when he said it, Walt?
No, that's where the clip ends, on his words. So they don't go back to show I don't know.
I remember it as her being like, "Whoa." You know? Like, because it wasn't something that you would actually hear in a debate. I will say this. I couldn't listen to the man prior to the debates, but I made myself sit there because I really wanted to hear how it would go. And he was very, very annoying initially. But then you begin to go, "I can't believe this is coming out of the mouth of a presidential candidate." I mean, those initial debates were... They were brutal. And fascinating. I mean, it was extremely compelling to watch it and to watch the body language. And also, you know, this was when I went, like, can there possibly be clones? Because from debate to debate, it didn't really look like the same woman. Like, two of them were, I think, the first one and the last one seemed to be the same individual, but the one in the middle just didn't seem... She seemed off from the first one, and then when I saw the second one, a third one, I said, "Yeah, that second one just doesn't seem to be the same feel that I, you know."
Well, you guys were agreeing that it wasn't even her same voice.
Yeah, I don't even remember all the details, but there was definitely something not the same, let me put it that way.
Well, that was after she had fallen into, or they had pushed her into the van, wasn't it? That she started looking different.
Yeah, it looked like they were carrying a doll made of jello, the way she was shaking.
That was at one point, September 19th. I mean, September 11th, because she was at the 9/11 ceremony.
Didn't it look like she lost a shoe before getting onto the vehicle?
Oh, yeah, she did.
She did, yeah. Yeah.
So she was shaking up a storm.
That's when I have seen that it said that that's when she died.
Mm.
And then right away, they had taken her to her daughter's house. And right away, another Hillary comes out of the door, and she's not anything like Hillary. No, she was a double.
Utsava is saying that she's on the other side, so I don't know.
Yeah, she was. the double was actually a body double, because there was so much wrong with her, and she came out within 30 minutes of Hillary being brought into Chelsea's apartment, and supposedly Chelsea's apartment had a full medical capability there.
And Chelsea gave her some of that adrenochrome. Yeah, that gave her some of that, but I never could hear what the rest was. Okay, if she gave her some of it, it evidently didn't work if they're saying she died. So I don't know what happened when they gave her that.
Can you imagine drinking liquid fear to stay alive? Because that's what it is. I mean, the thing gets harvested when the subject is at the peak of their fear and pain.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, let's not go detail on that.
Well, I don't get how it could be any beneficial from that. It's insanity.
If you want to know true insanity, true evil depravity, go look up adrenochrome. You can Google it. They'll tell you what it's about. And then if you want to get really frightened, put in adrenochrome and Celine Dion.
And she's one of the queens of it?
No, there's photographs of her. Apparently after she ran out of, and she looks like a walking dead person. And a dead person that's been, you know, starved to death. A concentration victim. It's awful.
Wow. That's in Google?
Yeah, you just Google Celine Dion and adrenochrome. And you'll also see, put in images. Put it in the images. Click on the image thing. And you're also going to see Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah, he looks like a corpse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, according to Gene Decode, once you start taking this stuff, he said, he knew that people that had taken it three times were likely never to get off of it. But that some people had, managed it, but only taking it three times. Anything over three times, that your body becomes, it's like something that it needs to survive. And
so it's even worse than standard drug addiction, because, people with a standard drug addiction can get over it, with proper treatment and support. But this thing actually alters your metabolism to the point where it can't function without it. Man.
Yeah, it seems to be. And what they're after there is they're younger, And I have said, how can that person look that good? They're my age. I've seen people that I questioned, how are they staying looking so young? So, if you're picking up on details like that, then when you see what happens when they don't have this drug, then you'll understand. Yes, this stuff somehow or another rejuvenates the cells to resist aging, I would say. But that once you're on it, you have to be on it. Otherwise, everything sort of like defaults to the age you
so
are.
So this is what the writer Frank Herbert was writing about all those years ago when he wrote Dune. For those of you out there that are sci-fi fans, you might have read the Dune trilogy written by Frank Herbert. And it's very, very interesting because humanity has, they're like in the year 10,000, to put it that way. And what happens is prior to that time, there was some major religious revolution where all computers were abolished because they came out with a new Bible, and the Bible says, "Thou shalt not make a machine in the image of man or in the image of man's consciousness." So what happened is they had to develop specially trained, specially prepared people. They were called mentats, and they had the programming, the data processing capability of a supercomputer. And so all the noble houses had one because there's no computers in this fake, you know, future reality. But here's the thing, is that in order for a mentat to become so, they need to take a substance, a drug, that's developed from the blood of a worm that grows in only one place in the universe. There's only one planet, Arrakis, which is called Dune. And there's a silicon-based life form there. There's these giant worms. And from the blood of it, they distill this substance. And they refer to it as spice. And when you consume it, you know, it increases your lifespan. It gives you tremendous mental capabilities. But here's the kicker. If you stop taking spice, it turns into poison in your blood. So guess what happens when you stop taking spice? So whoever controls this planet controls the universe because everything runs on this spice. So it's kind of scary, the parallels. You know, I can see how these monsters turned human blood into something along those lines.
Well, they claim that back in 18 when they took the China Lake facility for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just telling you the story. I'm not saying it's true. It's a story. I'm here to entertain. So, when they lost the supply, okay, they created a, or maybe they had already done it, but there was a phony one.
Synthetic.
Thank you, Dolly. A synthetic version of the stuff. Okay, that was created in the same lab that is located in Wuhan, China, that may have unleashed the 5G. Okay, but this new stuff, you know, this synthetic thing, was mucked with by the white hats, and a marker code was put in it. So, to prove that these people participated in an unbelievable crime, the forensic evidence is a test of their blood to see if they've got the marker of the synthetic. That's that story.
So that's like when they put
it's
like when they put those paint bombs in the cash in banks. So if somebody steals,
runs away
with the money, the paint bomb explodes and you never take it off your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it never came off your skin.
Well, it's supposed to be practically indelible, so I guess after a lot of effort, it eventually comes off your skin, since we are always changing skin cells. But it's supposed to last for a while. That's why they're able to, you know, track you and find you. And yeah, there's the pain. You stole the money from the bank.
Well, I don't know if it's true, but if it is, there's your proof, you know. Easy conviction. So, I don't know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Worthy of a horror novel.
Well, did you hear that 3 minutes and 22 seconds of Dead Zone, Walt?
Sorry, what?
It's a Dead Zone. It's a TV series.
Oh, the one that's based on Stephen King's book.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was the original movie. It's good. It's Christopher Walken played the role. It's a young man who was involved in a car crash, and because of it, he was in a coma for more than a decade. And when he finally came out of the coma, his senses are all different because now if he touches somebody, he knows something that's connected to that person. Like he was able to see that the doctor's daughter was in a fire. So he's looking at the girl and he's yelling at her. So he doesn't know what's going on. And then he, thanks to his knowledge, they were able to, you know, send the fireman to the address. But that's what would happen to him. He would touch someone and he would know what's going on with that person. That's why in the story, Martin Sheen wants to be president of the United States. And when he shakes his hand, he sees the scene of Martin Sheen pushing the button to send nuclear bombs to Russia. That's why he knew that Martin Sheen had to go. Otherwise, he was going to bring, you know, Armageddon. But, and then they came out, sorry, I'm interrupting you. They came out with a series with Anthony Michael Hall playing the role of, you know, the crash survivor.
No, I'm glad for that background because that was what it was. It was one of their episodes that when it was, I think, 2018. And somebody clipped the basic information out of this hour show into 3 minutes and 22 seconds. And I don't have it up in the player, otherwise I'd play it. But it was really, it talked about the coronavirus by name, isolation, the masks, and chloroquine as being the antidote. It was stunning, right, Dolly?
Yep. And I wanted to tell you that Christopher Walken ended up killing Martin Sheen so that it couldn't get done. He couldn't fire the missiles.
Are you purposely changing the ending of the movie? Because that's not how it ended.
Well, I didn't say it ended that way.
Oh,
he ended up killing him.
No. You know how it ended. He didn't kill anybody. You want me to tell the ending of the film?
Up. I'm going to stop telling stories.
No. You want me to tell how it ended?
Yeah, I want to know the ending.
Because you don't want the hero to end up being a murderer. He did take a sniper rifle up on the mezzanine of the church where Martin Sheen was going to do, you know, one of his big spiels. Because Martin Sheen was the lowest of the low. He was, you know, a con artist. You name it, he was it. And he was gaining the favor of the people because he was brainwashing everybody. So what he did is he spoke to the doctor who had been treating him for years. And the doctor, he was a survivor as a child. He was a survivor of the German Holocaust. And he always accepted in his life that he lost his mother to the concentration camps. So, and in one scene where Christopher Walken shakes his hand, he calls out the name of his mother and he tells her where she's alive and where she is. And the doctor was astounded, and later on he makes a phone call and a woman answers and he recognizes his mother's voice. So all this time he thought the mother was dead and she's alive. So in one point of the story, he's asking the doctor for his advice. He says, if you knew beforehand who Hitler was and what he was going to do, what would you have done? And he looks at him for a while and he says, in all truthfulness, if I had known who he was and what he was going to do, I would have killed the son of a bitch. And that's when Christopher Walken decided he was able to get a sniper rifle. He hid in the mezzanine in the church. So when Martin Sheen is up there, you know, kissing ass, he jumps up and points the gun to shoot Martin Sheen. And he's able to let go of one round, but it misses Martin Sheen. And Martin Sheen, in all his bravery, picks up a baby that's crying, you know, wailing, and puts it up like a shield. And all these media guys are taking photos of him holding up a baby against the gunman. And then the security forces, you know, shoot Christopher Walken, and he dies from the shot. And he dies and he falls to the ground. And Martin Sheen goes, you know, why are you doing this? And he grabs his hand and he's able to see the future. And in the future, he sees Martin Sheen sitting in a hotel room and he's looking at a magazine. And the magazine cover is one of, you know, one of these Newsweek Time magazine covers is his photo holding up a baby against the gunman. And he's like totally discredited. He's lost all his reputation and he's got a gun on the coffee table and he shoots himself. So Christopher Walken ends up, he dies laughing because he realizes he was able to stop it. Martin Sheen, you know, commits suicide, you know, that he just did career suicide in front of everyone. And then he ended up committing real life suicide. So Walken does not die as a murderer. He dies as a hero.
Yeah, but I can understand why Dolly remembered him firing the gun and not the rest
right.
of it.
That, yeah, would have, yeah.
that would have freaked you out, Dolly, wouldn't it have? Would have freaked me
I
out.
I don't know.
I would have thought. I would have. Ooh. I'm glad you told me the story. I would never want to watch it, though.
I was sorry I watched it after I watched it. One of those things, why the hell did I watch that? And then I blame it on Annette.
Well, the thing is that in the they're kind to the character in the television series. That in the television series, you see he lives out a normal life, but in the book he doesn't because he spent so many years in a coma. All his muscles contracted to the point that he was in bed in a fetal position. So when he woke up, he had to undergo tons of or several operations to get the muscles straightened out so that they could stretch his body. And then he could not walk. He had to have two canes to be able to walk. So he had a very poor quality of life. Plus the girl that he was in love with, that he would have married because that was the plan when he had the car accident, he was going to marry her. She's married and she has a child. So it's like, because of the years that passed, his mother has passed. So it's like his quality of life is really not that good. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. So he left life, you know, doing a really good heroic act. He saved the world, literally. Because Martin Sheen, that's what he was going to do. He was going to push the button on the Russians.
Sounds like Hillary. I was reminiscing about the when we had the elections at 16 and we were doing the radio show and Colleen was calling out the tally as we went through it, you know, and reminiscing about Starfire Tours exercise of saying to her people, what are the qualities of the person that you would like to see president? And then to have them focus on that instead of, you know, Hillary or Trump. And I do believe that she did a timeline change. You know, I think that other people probably did something similar. There's many stories to the same ending.
Is she still writing? I haven't heard you mention her.
Well, I haven't had time to follow her. Yes, I believe she has. I was just over on her site a couple days ago, and there was new stuff. But, the timeline things. I was wondering, Dolly, see how this feels. You know, I might have mentioned it, but when you're talking about clones or body doubles, but these, you know, many different versions of Trump, is there any way that it could be timelines? You know, that because I think of a timeline like a rope with all these, you know, little threads in it to make the rope. And because when I'm seeing particularly the guy that was at the rally, and I agree with you that didn't seem like the beloved.
It wasn't.
No, but he had this quality of complete. I mean, maybe the timeline that that guy would have continued on is one where he's a stand-up comedian. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, jeez. I know nothing about timelines. I really can't say one word about timelines. They're beyond me.
Well, it has crossed my mind that maybe this, specifically with him, although I can't even remember who said it. So, somebody said that, you know, they had had, well, I've heard that, you know, there's been like 25 different attempts on his life. And this is person who seemed to be somebody that, I'm trying to think of which one it was, 64 attempts, and they've gotten 3 of the doubles.
Oh, see, that's why they don't let him out to do rallies and things like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what
he's
what's,
too valuable.
Well,
to
he's
be let out.
He's protected. And now, the 4th of July and the unveiling of John Kennedy Jr. I don't think it's going to happen then.
Why?
It's just sort of a gut feeling.
Were you live yesterday?
What?
Were you live on the radio yesterday, or was that a recording that I
that
heard
was
you?
A recording.
Oh, when you were talking to someone and this person said that Kerry Cassidy already knows that JFK Jr. is alive?
Right, that was Michael Henry Dunn. She did an interview. I don't know if she did one on her show, but she did an interview with somebody and said that JFK was alive, and she brought up the Rushmore thing again.
Oh.
I think.
It's in a post on the Facebook, Walt. I keep wanting to call you Russell.
I know. Forever. You think of
I'm sure Russell is much nicer than I am.
He's my son, Walt.
Of course. Irreplaceable.
Very much my son.
So, but
I don't mean that he's nice. I'm meaning he has a nasty spot like I do.
Okay.
I interrupted Nancy.
Now I want to check something here. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. The plane that supposedly killed John Kennedy was down, Jr., was flew on July 16th, 1999. But July 16th. And for some reason, that just, when I was kind of trying to find out, and there's probably different versions of what might, I mean, I know there's different versions of what might happen, but there might be different plans depending on what's happening at the instant that it's all coming down. But the fact of the matter is that they cannot, I don't think, wait beyond the Republican convention. Convention. Yeah, what date is that scheduled for? August 24th. So between August 24th and August 27th. So I would think that the latest that it will be before we hear one way or the other, if it's real, you know, and that he's going to replace Mike Pence, really have to do it, you know, by August 27th of the Republican National Convention, I would think. So we're like, you know, maximum 2 months out. We can hang in there for that, Dolly.
Sometimes I think, oh, it's a piece of cake. I can handle this. I know they're doing background scene stuff. And then other times I'll just be sitting there, so I'll wake up and it's, damn it, I can't wait anymore. It's time. It's past time. And then I have to cool my butt down.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't pull the wheat in the garden, you know, to make it grow faster. You have to just nurture it. And I do think that we have to be real cognizant of, like, one of the comments on one of the YouTube shows, I don't even remember which one, said that, you know, they agree with, I think it was a say what, because I'm sure it was you know, the current events stuff. But aren't we just feeding them energy, you know? And you have to, yes, you can always feed them energy by focusing on them, but it's a way of focusing. It's not focusing with an emotional attachment.
Who's, you know, them? Wait, who's them?
The anarchists, the killers out there, the ones that want to take down the country,
oh,
the bad guys.
Oh, it's not the good guys, it's the bad, okay.
The bad guys, the very bad guys. But what you need to do is I think the lesson here is, you know, what is going on? Just like that reading that, you know, the post, the comment thing concerning, you know, oh, no, no, don't, not that math and not that data and those experts and not those black people. You know, I mean, it's like, what in the world? It's true insanity. But we have to come to some kind of a, somehow deal with it. And so, you know, I was like looking at things and just observing, you know, trying to figure out, well, what's behind this and, you know. And then today on the Shungite show, the messaging from Shungite, you know, sort of says, oh, forget about all that drama. You know, just imagine what you need to see. We don't need the lessons of that right now. You know, time is critical. Just see what you need to see. So what would we see? What kind of a new reality do we want to see?
I want to see people getting along and helping each other. That's what I want to see. And I want to see, because there will be so many good vibrations in the world, things will get prettier. The colors will get more vivid, more bright. The sky will be even more beautiful. And I want to see the aliens in their spaceships and have some come and visit me. Just come and beam themselves down and visit with me for a while. And I think about these things.
Well, did you hear the interview with Don Jr. and the president?
No, but I saw the picture.
Oh! His son, Donald J. Trump Jr.
Oh, I didn't know that the son was also called. I thought
he's a junior.
Another name?
Yeah, there's Eric.
There's another. Yeah, but this is. I think he's a junior. Anyway, Donald's son, Donald. Okay, which they call Don. Okay. He was interviewing his dad, and I'm sure it was our beloved.
It was, and definitely our beloved.
Yeah, and the first question he asked him, he said, you know, that everybody is very, very interested in, you know, the question of which is your favorite child.
I did hear that.
You know, and Trump says, you know, well, for this interview, you, but I'll deny it, you know.
Correct me up.
I mean, the guy is funny. But, so Don says to his dad, what do you know about Roswell? Sort of out of the blue. And Donald got this little smiling smirk, you know, and he says, I know a few things. And so then Don says, well, now, are you going to get into this? You know, I mean, you're going to tell us what you know? And
said, I really want to know this. This is a real question.
Yeah. And his dad just said, And he got that little smile on his face, and he looked down, and he said, well, I just have to look into this. So you know damn well that he's going to talk. Yeah, it's going to come out. He admitted that he knew things. And, yeah. You know, he signals what he's going to do.
The day that he's able to openly speak about it, that would be an indicator that the deep state is over and the cabal has been dealt with. Because that's what's keeping all the stuff hidden. You can't reveal the stuff because these guys are still out there creating trouble. So can you imagine sharing with people whatever knowledge is, you know, whatever is there in Roswell, added to this mix of virus and riots and all this crap that, you know, which is what they're creating to create mayhem and drama and all of that. No, if I were the president, I wouldn't release that information until the cabal is dealt with, because whatever you think is useful information that people deserve to know, they'll corrupt it in some way. They'll pick it up and use it to... Can you imagine them coming up and saying, oh yes, the aliens are here invading and their blood is red. Even there's a 93.28% chance that your neighbor is already an alien. If their blood is red, there's a good chance that they're aliens. What? People will go around shooting their neighbors. Look at all the craziness that they've done, unleashed with this virus thing, and there's no virus anywhere. So would you reveal this when they're still in play? No. Whatever you reveal is going to get corrupted and going to be turned inside out for them to create more mayhem and more drama and more destruction. So he's got my vote. He wants to keep it secret. Keep it secret. Just keep doing what you're doing and get rid of this whole cabal, crap, deep state, whatever you want to label them, so that when we're finally free to be ourselves, true selves, and we're not under the control of some cabal, then we can deal with this information in an intelligent way. Not have to deal with never-ending drama, being, you know, showered with drama every day. No, thank you.
And some of the things that the media says about, I mean, again, I go back to that West Point speech and him in the water and the, you know, it's like, I find it to be so illustrative of how it actually works. You know, the guy is so concerned about falling that he is very cautious, watching his step, moving with, you know, certainty.
Bent over.
So he's not a Gerald Ford, huh?
No, he actually in the speech talked about that.
Yeah.
He said that when he realized what he was about to confront, he did think of Gerald Ford, you know, falling down. He says, and you know, they keep playing it in slow motion. And you remember the president that puked in China? They kept playing that over and over again in slow motion. You know, he said, I didn't want to see my ass hitting this ramp and me sliding down it in slow motion.
Remember a Saturday Night Live skit where Chevy Chase was Gerald Ford and Buck Henry was his advisor? And they were going to go to a press conference, and Buck Henry's going, so listen to me, Mr. President. We are going to go to a press conference. We are going to open this device on the wall. It's called a door, and it has a frame around it. When we open this door, you must walk through the center of the space of the door. Then when we do that, we are going to go into the hallway. The hallway is this long room with walls on either side. You must walk down the center of the space between the two walls. And, you know, all these minute is like you're addressing somebody has mental issues or something. And he goes out and he goes through all the motion. And just before he gets to the podium for the press conference, he manages to screw it up and ends up falling all over himself and yelling, you know, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Well, I also saw, because it was mentioned in that interview between the two Donalds, Donald Trump was on Saturday Night Live, and he ends up on the stage with two of the actors that had played him.
That must have been funny.
It wasn't his best. It wasn't his best as far as I could see. We're at the top of the hour, so I'm going to play Self-Liberation by Barbara Menezes and Greg Stewart. 5 minutes.
Thank you.
welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It's June 23rd, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me has Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. You guys are back, I'm hoping.
I'm back.
How about Dolly? Dolly. Uh-oh. Oh. Well, she's not here yet. Or she's having problems. There she comes. Here she comes. Dolly? Dolly?
Hello?
Hello. Okay, she's back, Walt.
Jeez, I was having trouble with my freaking headset.
Oh, you sound
and
good.
It's lightning and thundering.
Oh, I'm so glad it's going up near you and not me.
Well, I asked for it.
Yeah, you did. You said you would take it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you asked your neighbors about it, but...
No, they don't count.
Yeah, we got bubbles of realities. So, what do you guys want to talk about?
I got nothing.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Just working every day. Well, I hope the... maybe you want to talk about or not the thing that you needed help for, this gentleman Gene Decode, or if that's, I don't know if that's supposed to be something super private.
No, he actually came out. That's how Mark heard about it. Was he was talking about it on a podcast that he had apparently had it and was having trouble with it, and please pray for him. So he is soliciting help.
Okay.
For what?
Morgellons disease.
Oh, that's a nasty ass thing.
Yeah. Well, can you explain
bless his
it?
Heart.
You know.
Well, I've never seen it myself. All I can tell you is that if you do an image search on the internet, there are very many sites with photos of what is the symptoms of Morgellons disease. From my understanding of it, those that speak about it insist that it's due to the presence of nanoparticles in chemtrails, that these things are, they speak about smart dust, and that these are chips smaller than a grain of sand, and you breathe them in, and when these things get into your body, they begin to replicate. And the photos that I've seen of supposedly people suffering from Morgellons is they'll have fibers growing out of their skin, and they don't look like human hairs. It's fibers. It's like, you know, you've seen how thick cat whiskers are, much thicker than a standard hair. It's something along those lines. Like in one case, somebody peeled off a bit of, you know, dead skin. And under the microscope, you could see that there was lettering made of the skin. It's like something had shaped the skin into, you know, letters that you could read. Or you'll have these, you'll take tweezers and you can pull out these fibers out of the skin. This lady, local lady that supposedly had it, she didn't display any of those symptoms, but her complaint was that she would have this infernal itching all over her body. So she would do these, she would fill the bathtub with vinegar and some, or bake, or vinegar. What was it? Vinegar and Epsom salt. And she would dunk on it for so long, and then she would do something else. And that's what I know of it. So when I douse the question, does it have a specific sound signature, or a specific energy signature? I got yes. Is there a sound, a signal that is the opposite of that, that would disable it? And I got yes. So I don't know if it's specific for him, because I ask specifically for him, because I don't know if there's more than one flavor of Morgellons, since it's not supposed to be natural. It's supposed to be some artificial induced condition. When Gavrilov put a post on Facebook regarding the smart dust, I said, I responded and I said, well, if you had a magnetic pulsar, it would destroy that in an instant. because they generate this. I remember the work of Bob Beck from years ago. He's the one who came out with the brain tuner, which was able to help people not relieve, but actually cure out of illnesses, and not illnesses, but like, for example, addictions. In a couple of sessions, somebody would be completely free of their addiction using the brain tuner. And when he went to rehabilitation centers to offer the device, they said, no, thank you, because they make their money from treating people, not curing people. So they turned him away. And he came up with the magnetic pulsar, which is a device that uses a coil. What he did is he connected a coil to a photographic flash circuit. Because if you are familiar, well, you are a professional photographer, so you do know, you are aware that on a professional flash, you have a special condenser, a special capacitor that builds up a charge. And then all that energy is released in thousands of a second or two thousandths of a second. So it produces a very intense, you're able to generate a very intense light because all that energy is being released in a very tiny amount of time. So by doing this, by connecting that circuit to a metal coil, he was able to generate a huge magnetic pulse. I mean, big enough that it can
excuse
extend
me,
out.
Excuse me, Walt. Sure. We're losing our power. So if I disappear, it's because we're lost power completely.
Oh, okay. Bring it back. Uh-oh. So we lost La Dali?
No, I'm here.
Oh.
But I just wanted to warn you.
Can't you put a candle under the computer to keep it running?
don't I wish? I would do that all the time.
As a little kid to my father, when the light would go out, can't we just turn the TV on with a candle? So the thing is that when you're using this device, which puts out a huge magnetic pulse, it can be, depending on which mode you apply on the device, it can be 1,500 Gauss, 5,000, 6,000 Gauss. It puts out a pulse that it will extend. You can measure it all the way out to like 9 inches. And what Bob Beck discovered by applying this on the body is that it accelerates tissue healing. It helps to move the lymphatic fluids in the body, because one of the things, whereas our circulatory system has the heart and the musculature of all the blood vessels to move blood along, the lymphatic system, which is where the white blood cells mostly work, doesn't have that. That's why the lymphatic system, when you look at the lymphatic nodules, they're located in the places in the body where you have the most movement and articulation, like in the armpit, in the neck below the jawline, where the legs meet the torso. That's where you will find lymphatic nodes, because that's the part of the body where you have the most motion. And that's why exercise and stretching is vital to get the lymphatic fluids moving. And unfortunately, people that have a very sedentary life don't have that. And when you use the pulsar, it helps to move the lymphatic fluid and clean it, you know, detox the lymphatic fluid. Like, for example, my mom has or had issues with her right ear because when she was a baby, she was 3 months old. A doctor, I think, must have been a caveman, not an actual doctor. My grandmother took the baby to the doctor because she had an ear infection. And the doctor says, oh, she has an abscess. We have to lance it. And what he ends up doing is piercing the eardrum. So all her life, she lived with a pierced eardrum. And when I treated her with ozone insufflation back in New York, the body regrew the eardrum. It sealed up again, and there was only a teeny tiny line where the tear had been all the time. But still, the hearing wasn't all there. And lately, she's been using the pulsar. She's just doing very short applications, like 1 minute or 30 seconds. And she's progressing. Every day she listens, she hears better. And that's one of the things that Bob Beck found out. It actually helps stimulate tissue regeneration and growth. They've used it successfully to kill tumors, stuff like that. So these magnetic pulsers, if you have that, if you have that smart dust in your body, or you have any kind of nano crap in your body, that gets destroyed instantly. You know, electronics, EMP pulses, that's the enemy of all electronics. That's why when you have an atom bomb and you have an EMP pulse, it kills all the electronics in the city. So I think, you know, that would be also a good thing for him to look into, you know, magnetic pulsar.
Well, Morgellons, explain the tone and how that would work to promote its dissipation.
Well, I started by dowsing if his specific Morgellons, if it had an energy signature. I got yes. So then I dowsed the question, if I produce, is there an energy signature that is the opposite of that, that applying it to the person would disable the Morgellons in his body? And I got yes. So, okay, can you give it to me now? Yes. So I spent the time getting all the parameters so the sound could be composed. And then I had to ask questions as to application. How long should the exposure be? And I got 9 minutes. How should the sound be generated? Triangle wave, no. Square wave, no. Sine wave, yes. Okay. How many times a day does the person need to be exposed to this? And I got once a day. And then I asked how many days? I got 7 days. And then I asked the question, can the person skip a day? I got no. So I said, if the person skips a day, they have to do, again, 7 continuous days? Yes. So you have to do 7 continuous days. If you miss a day, you have to start your 7 count again. But this sound will disable and just neutralize whatever's in his body. Like Dolly, who started finding the pain relief when she started playing the anti-pain sound. I don't know if she's still using it. She's so such a modern girl. Maybe she got tired of it.
Well, I forgot about it. Oh, I'm so mad at myself right now.
Boy crazy, boy crazy. All those boyfriends of yours.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so back in 2015, Walt had put together some healing tones. And I'm going to give you if you're on chat, just go down until you see a sine wave green, bright green photograph. And if you click on that, it goes to the page that these tones are on. And so he had a Morgellons there, anti-Morgellon sound there. And I asked him, I said, is this the same sound? So he said, well, I actually asked it specific for Gene, so I'm not sure. But we know that when he first did it, it was a general one. So anybody out there that's got Morgellons, just go down through the chat and you'll see the green picture, you know, healing tones, it says. Click on it and play the thing. But now, Walt, you've given them something that wasn't there in the on the page concerning the routine. Maybe you should check your pendulum right now and say, is that the same routine for any of these?
Hold on. Let me get it.
So he had given you a tone that took away the pain, Dolly?
It did a pretty good job of it. Not entirely, but it works pretty good.
Same on the 100th today. Said 14 to cool. Is it the same for all sufferers?
Is he talking to us?
No.
Oh, okay.
To the pendulum.
Okay.
I'm getting that the routine is the same for anyone suffering Morgellons.
Okay.
9 minutes once a day for 7 straight days. The clip is 9 minutes. Oh, that's another thing I had to ask. Okay, how long should the clip be? And I got 9 minutes.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that one, the one that's up there, is that long. But anyway, because Morgellons does seem to be a problem for so many people, and because the fix for it is sounds pretty simple to me, I'm going to put together a link so that, you know, the information will be on one page instead of all the ones with the different tones. I mean, there's DMT in there, there's common, I don't remember all of them. But, yeah, that was an interesting excursion into sound healing. And so, yeah, if you want to experience different energies that are promoted by different sounds, music, it's not music, it's sounds. Well, I suppose it's music. It depends on how you look at it. But, yeah, somebody's song is somebody else's, like, let me out of here.
Well, the first time that I encountered that, the business of doing sounds or noises, was with when I've spoken in the past about Dr. Costa, who would teach the 15-step process, you know, that transpersonal hypnotherapy type technique. And when the person is, you know, lying down or reclining and they're in that state and you're asking them questions of their guides through them, every time there was an issue of healing, that was the first thing you're supposed to ask. Is there a sound that will help this? And the person would say yes. Or they're saying that you should whistle. Or you're saying, or like, for example, in my case, I would carry with me the I got from Jonathan Goldman, this gentleman who he deals with sound healing, and he had these professionally made tuning forks where the space between the forks is 1.618. It's phi. So when you play them together, you're creating that space vibrationally. So when I would do these sessions with the people, I would offer, and I would say to the person, ask your guys if this sound is okay, it's enough. And she says, yes. They say to you should continue. That was the first time that I was weirded out, because if for whoever out there has ever played with tuning forks, when you strike them and they start vibrating, they really play for quite a while. You know, they have a nice resonant tone, and if you have a good hearing, you can hear them down to when they're almost, you know, quiet. But this thing, with this lady, I was striking the the tuning forks, and they would go ding, what? And I'm like, ding. It's like there was something was sucking up the energy of the forks playing, and the woman is lying down with her eyes closed, and she says, they are saying that you should continue. So obviously her guides were using that vibration to do the healing on her body. I don't remember at the time what was it that she needed healing with, but I had never witnessed that sound being actually sucked out of something that's making a sound. It's a strange experience, but it makes life fun, you know, experiencing something different and new every day.
Did you ever see it happen again like that?
Not that dramatic, not with that lady, no. I used the sound in others, and they kept saying, yes, use that sound. But to be have the sound literally sucked out of the device, wow, I thought that was impressive. At least there was confirmation that it was being used. Her guys were usually using the energy. So it goes to show how, you know, how much there is to say about sound healing. So
does Cater talk about sound healing at all?
I don't remember. I'll have to review the chapters. He talks about so many different things.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how he would explain it. In, you know, soft electrons, I'm sure, something about them.
Well, anyway. that's the thing, yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, that's the thing, is that that's the point that he makes that's really valuable, is that every form of energetic activity has with it an accompanying soft electrons, because the soft electron is the bridge between, because you ever wonder, okay, what's the bridge between the material and the etheric? We know the etheric exists. We know argon exists. We know it's been photographed. It becomes luminous in a vacuum in the presence of EMF, electromagnetic, you know, radiation. So if you have a vacuum, if you have a vacuum tube and you put it near a Tesla coil, that inside the tube, the argon that's inside the glass will become luminous because the tube is in a vacuum. So these things, there is plenty of evidence to support the fact that, yes, they exist. But it makes you wonder, okay, so where is the boundary line? Where is it that this etheric nature or etheric dimension, where does it meet or join with the physical? You know, physical's over here, I can see it, I can touch it. Etheric is over here, you can feel it, you can experience it indirectly. Okay, where do the two meet? And they meet in the soft electrons, because there's an infinite, for every material manifestation, for every energetic manifestation, there are soft electrons that are accompanying it. That's why he was able to, he didn't do it, but he witnessed it being done. He was able to prove that the reason you're able to heat things, the reason you are able, if you put your, you're going to make tea and you're going to take your pot of water and you're going to put it on your burner, on your stove, the only reason that water is going to boil is because that fire is releasing soft electrons, heat, specific temperature, soft electrons. When they did the experiment of connecting that metal plate to a really powerful positive charge so that it would pull away all the soft electrons from the metal, even a blowtorch couldn't heat up the metal because there were no soft electrons there doing the interface work. So that's an amazing discovery in and of itself, because can you imagine it's like the first step to making a shielding for a ship. You can make a ship that can go out into space and be completely immune to radiation, because you know how to treat the body of the ship in such a way that, you know, radiation can't get through it. So that book is full of so many discoveries and so many clues. It's amazing. So sound, obviously, is going to have soft electrons are going to be part of that energy wave. Because if we say sound is interacting with our bodies because the air molecules are vibrating, our ears are registering that vibration, and obviously that vibration is hitting my skin. But you can argue, but it's just air vibrating. How can air vibrating have an effect on my body and heal something or disable something? There's got to be more. And the answer is, yes, there is more, because that vibration is going to be accompanied by the soft electrons that are in the nature of that vibration. That's the energy matter interface, is those soft electrons. And like he explains in the book, if you compare the size of a hard electron to a soft electron, is they're comparing the size of the Earth to the size of the Sun. They're gigantic because they're made up of etheric particles. And they behave like electrons because they have negative charge. So that book is full of so much information. You could spend years making crap out of that, making inventions out of from that book.
Apologize, I had my mute on and I couldn't get it off. Oh. The science that, okay, when we talk about the new or the secret space program, what do you think the science is behind it? Do you think that it's possible that your basic physics is involved in it, or do you think that it's beyond even quantum physics? What do you think is there? Do you think, you know, our friend Cater is actually, that's the science behind the you know.
Well, first of all, it would explain why for years it took him 20 years to publish the book, because the CIA were on his ass constantly. He had to keep, you know, hiding his information. He had to keep, they would spy on him. They would try to block what he was doing. So that doesn't happen if you're selling something useless. That doesn't happen if you're just selling, you know, disinformation. No, they're not going to bother you. You're worthless to them. You're insignificant. But when you're about to reveal, what is it that you call it in the intelligence world? Actionable data, actionable material?
Yes, actionable.
Okay, that gets their attention. You know what? This guy's about to spill the beans. How can he go around, you know, sharing this stuff? So you're either counting on people thinking he's total Looney Tunes, which he's not, or we have to silence him. I believe you when you said we must have flipped realities, because this thing, it took him 20 years to publish it, and it just popped out of nowhere. I don't even remember. You're the one who found it. I don't know how you found it. Well, so like you said, we flipped into a reality where we were supposed to find it.
Okay. It's an interesting story, because I was writing the fourth chapter of Shungite Reality. And in that fourth chapter, it's about enterology, the science of. I essentially give more details regarding the science that we discovered as we went through, you know, the whole years of studying it. And I got really focused into to science. And at one point, I spent hours and hours writing on consciousness and went, what the hell am I doing? This hasn't got anything to do with the Shungite. And so then I said, okay, Dolly had, Dave came in on a conversation we were having, and he basically said, forget the science, get on with it. how did he know I was stuck? But anyway, but when I got back into the writing of it and stayed specifically with the concept of, the healing aspects of energy, and with Wilhelm Reich and Raymond Rieff. And okay, Raymond Rieff in the 30s does this amazing experiment where he cured 10 people of terminal cancer, and then nothing more is heard of this particular subject. He goes on to have a fairly good, you know, successful professional life, but nothing else is there. And I did send you something on Rieff, and I just found it a little bit ago that I had sent it to you, but I haven't even read it. But so I understand kind of that. Okay, what he's talking about, and the vibration that will cause all sorts of bad things to go away, could be weaponized to make things like a big building, like a, you know, two towers in New York City, just disintegrate. Same kind of concept. It's just, you know, the scale of it. It's been weaponized. But then I'm looking at Wilhelm Reich, and I'm going, okay, Reich is talking about essentially bringing in Oregon energy in order to create a healing environment. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, like, could Oregon be made into a weapon? So yes, I Googled it, right? And right off the bat, I get taken to a link, and all of a sudden I'm reading this PDF thing section on Reich's Cloudbusters being able to disengage nuclear fusion and stop jet engines, and I'm going, like, what am I reading, and who is this? And so then I find out it's this Cater guy. I do a search for his books. I end up on Amazon. I find that the paperbacks were very expensive, but they had, I could buy hardcovers, a hardcover version of it, at $11. So I immediately sent one to you, sent one to Derek, and sent one to myself. Well, not too long ago, a couple weeks maybe, I went back over to Amazon, and that same book is $30. So I think it was, again, it was like somebody mucked with the pricing even, because I could have balked. I didn't know what I was getting into. But at $11, I was going to take a chance on it, you know?
Right.
And so that, yeah, that was, if anything was, I mean, this was just so orchestrated, there was no doubt in my mind that this hadn't been put in my lap.
Well, to give you an idea, one of the recipes, for example, a lot of people are amazed when they look at UFOs that they're traveling at 6,000 miles an hour and they do a right turn, 90-degree turn in the air, instantly, you know, no slowing down, no centrifugal force, just a change of direction. And like anybody in a standard human, if a regular airplane attempted to do that, the humans inside would be crushed to a pulp. The centrifugal forces would destroy, you know, it would completely crush their bodies. And yet, you know, these vehicles are able to do this. Well, he explains it in his book. You achieve this by removing all static charges inside the physical body of that ship. Because he goes on to explain how when a static charge begins to move, when it begins to travel, it becomes magnetism. When it comes to a dead stop, they go back to being static charges. So if you extract all the static charges from a physical body, you can accelerate as much as you want, and you will not generate any magnetism. Therefore, you can accelerate, come to a dead stop from, 1,000 miles an hour. You won't experience anything. There will be no inertia because you've just eliminated essentially what causes inertia to manifest in the first place. So that's all stuff. That's secret space program stuff right there. How to be able to move at any speed and yet experience no acceleration whatsoever inside the vehicle, of course. So,
I'm wondering if because it does. I mean, I have not studied him like you have, but I've gone through some of the information and some other things. And what I'm seeing is that we have a situation where it is the, let's say, the new science, because we're at a level of technology where that's where it goes.
Let's put it this way. Look at it from another angle. All the science that they've been teaching us in school, it's like, how can I say this? Well, imagine that somebody's teaching you the Bible, and they purposely leave out the most important critical chapters. Well, are you going to have a complete story? Are you going to have a complete understanding of your life, your existence as a soul, whatever understanding you have of God? Not likely, if this very important book is missing whole chunks of it. You're just looking at pieces. You're looking at pieces of a puzzle. You're not seeing the entire puzzle. And I think that's the way we were taught science, because purposely things have been left out. For example, to this day, mainstream science still argues about argon, whether it exists or not. You know, I look at medical science. All that exists, the only thing that they're willing to admit exists, it's the mind. Because they make money out of psychology. But beyond the mind, we don't have anything. We're not supposed to have a soul, no spirit, no etheric bodies, no astral body, no, nothing, nothing. Just physical body, the mind, that's it. There's these two little doohickeys, you slap them together, you get a human being. Really? That's what makes up a human being, a physical body and a mind? If that's not an incomplete story, what is? You tell me.
I'm wondering, is Dolly still with us? She could have left the scene because of the lightning. Dolly, you're here, right, still?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay, good.
I'm waiting for you all to get done.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
I don't want to interrupt, but I got something to say.
Okay, go for it.
Right on time.
Russell messaged me this morning, and he says, Mom, as I was waking up today, I was conscious enough to see things that I could see about programs in me were being changed. What I once knew as normal is now different. Wish I could go into detail of the changing. And I told him I understand exactly what he was saying, because I've done that myself. And then it reminded me that yesterday I was in the bathroom and I turned around and looked out and Sagey was walking by, and all of a sudden there was Sagey's whole body jerked. And everything, there was a line from Sagey's body that went all the way up and sideways, and then on the other side of that line, things changed. So I thought, was that a flux or something like that? But Russell did it the same time Sagey did it. I saw this happen with Sagey.
Now you know why you can't say anything about timelines, because to you, timelines is just a bowl full of spaghetti. You're able to play with so many different timelines. I mean, how can you say anything about them? It's just a big bundle of lines, and
yeah,
it's something that you play with. So you're very humble.
That's true. No wonder I have trouble. But anyway, I know Russell's starting to go through all this upgrade. He has been, but all of a sudden he's realizing, whoa.
Did you ever share with him the training that Dave gave you?
What training is that?
Well, didn't you tell me in the beginning that when you first met Dave, you were like totally lost and confused because you didn't understand your capabilities and your talents? So Dave is the one who was your instructor, and he taught you how to harness your abilities and how to make use of, you know, practical use of them, as opposed to being confounded by them.
Yeah, well, I do talk with him about the things that he and I have in common that I can, but he has different abilities than I do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that rainbow. Oh, my gosh, Nancy.
That's a dusk rainbow.
It's what?
It's a dusk rainbow. When the sun is very near the horizon, most of the light is reddish. Most of it is reddish.
I thought she was sending me a picture of a different planet coming up around, you know, around the Earth, because it's so different.
I did put that on chat. The reason being because you're talking about Russell going through these amazing changes, and we just went through the solstice and the eclipse and all that. Uh-huh. Well, and I said when I saw this picture, I said to my friends, I got to ask Walt how this happens, because he will know. And see, he did know. But I didn't know. Nobody on Shungite Show knew. And also, Derek did not know, which is, again, interesting. But none of us had seen it before. Okay?
Yeah, now, it's rare, because the timing has to be perfect. You know, the amount of water in the atmosphere, the angle of the sun. It has to be, like, so perfect. It's like one of those things where that happened like once every 300 years or once every 400 years. It's like that. Everything, all the elements have to be just right. And that's what happened. The sun, you would see what happens if for those people that live near the ocean. When the sun is going near the horizon, most of the light is reddish. You know, you look at the clouds are red, you know, the ambient lighting is reddish. So when you get the rainbow, it's mostly red. But you can still see the other little bits of color.
Well, what Sandy had left my house. It was Friday night. Sandy left the house, and she went north. And then, you know, a few blocks up, she takes a 90-degree turn going east. And when she started to go south again, that's when she saw it. And she messaged me that there was a rainbow. So myself and Betsy Jo, we went out. But see all those trees? Well, I'm underneath all those trees, so it's very difficult to see anything, you know, because of the trees. But she did. Betsy saw the rainbow, the top of it. And it was really basically only three colors. There was quite a strip of blue, and then, you know, the orange-red on the top, and then I think it was yellow. I don't even remember now. But I had not seen this picture. So we did not get the full impact of all of that, the rest of it that was below what we were seeing, you know? So, but I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, I've seen a lot of rainbows, especially down here in South Florida because of the being, you know, a peninsula. I said, I can't even imagine, you know, what this is really about because I've never seen it before. So I send it to Derek. And Derek has been asked to go to, he was very funny telling me about it. I'm going somewhere for something. What is it? Oh, the solstice. There's this, and they've been asking me, so I'm going to go. It's 2.5 hours away, but I'm going to go to this thing. And so he goes there and he meets up with some of his friends. And one of the people that were there showed him a photograph that was almost identical to this, except he knew that it was not my photograph. Because that person had taken it in Washington, the state of Washington, on the absolute farthest away, except for Alaska, that you can get from Florida, on the same day, virtually within the same time frame.
And I got a photo of this from somebody in Australia. So it's happening all over the world.
Okay, so you got one from Australia?
Hold on, let me go. It's from one of our listeners. It should be in my messenger.
So there's definitely something going on. Oh, we're, yeah, shifting somehow. And I wanted to make sure that I talked about it so that when things happen to other people that they haven't witnessed before, don't freak out. Pay attention. Try to figure out what was that for.
Don't try to identify things with things that have happened in the past, because the past is gone.
Yes.
Get used to the new reality where everything's going to be new.
Right.
Very interesting. I wonder, well, when I was looking at it, I was the pinkish color to it made me think of the pink rose. And the pink rose was the first energy that we put into the new reality when we started building it back in late 14, early 15.
Okay. This is actually, let me grab this. It's actually a video, so it's very interesting.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So let me copy this. Okay. How do I copy? Okay. So let me see. Just let me paste.
Atoxion Star says that I feel like something happened at 12 a.m. EST this morning. Huh. Why are you saying that? Did you feel a shift? I was up, but not for long. Normally I stay up a lot longer, but I was very tired. I remember being very tired and deciding to shut down the computers.
Her name is A Texas Lone Star.
Oh, A Texas Lone Star.
Lone Star. Yeah. I call her Texas.
Okay, I'm going to grab it. It's a Facebook video.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, there it is. And it's supposed to... It was in Birmingham on the 13th of June it happened. In the UK, not Australia. Russell lives in Australia, but this was sent from the UK. This was filmed in the UK. This is interesting because instead of looking like a rainbow, it actually looks like an energy dome. If you click on it.
Clicking.
Clicking.
I'm still having look. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's not me. Oh. It must be this
video. Oh, I can turn off the sound here. That's what the problem is.
In this one, it's kind of dim because the sun is so very close to the horizon.
What am I looking at here? The clouds?
No, you just let it play. Excuse me.
So it's a secret.
No, it's going to build into the same thing that we took the picture of over here.
Oh, okay, thank you. You helped me, thank you.
You see how it's building along the edges? Wow.
Yes, I see it.
Wow.
It's pretty
wow.
Cool.
I'm sorry, that does not look like dust in a... When does
no,
dust...
No, not dust. I mean dusk with D-U-S-K.
Oh, dusk. D-U-S-K.
When the sun is so very near the horizon, most of the light is reddish. So you get very few colors, if any, and most of it is red.
Yes,
is
but what's,
red.
What's causing this circular thing? I mean, that doesn't...
That's the water in the air. That's the you
perfect,
see the
all
the
lightning. A perfect sphere like this, and look at how the color is coming in on either side. It's like a, and plus they got electricity. This is like it's a ball that's getting splashed with paint.
And if you pay attention, you can see that there's another rainbow over it, very very dim. There's another arc over it, and you see as the clouds pass in front of the sun. They filter the light, and it gets a little bit dim, and it gets a little bit brighter.
Wow. That is too cool.
So this is June the 13th, so I don't know if that's a significant date for you mysterious people.
Well, the event certainly is. Ooh, and look at the electricity. We didn't have any electricity here. I'm sorry, boys and girls listening to audio. This is probably boring as hell to you, but the link will be right below you, so you'll be able to stop listening to us or whatever you want to do and look at it. It's really...
Well, Aquarius is seeing it.
Yeah, well, I am too, but we're doing it live because we're looking at... Well, yes. I should put that in there. Hit link so you can understand what we're talking about. Maybe I'll put something in the video. That is just totally amazing, Walt. And you say this was in Great Britain?
Yeah, it says Birmingham, United Kingdom, June the 13th.
Wow. Very, very impressive.
I'm going to run outside for a minute because our sky is like blue. We've got the big lightnings and the thunder. I'm going to run outside and look. I'll be back.
Okay.
Thunder.
She's got 6 minutes. You think she'll make it back?
In a scooter.
That's amazing. And to think that in three different locations, we have, this same image.
Well, obviously there's a different type of energy in the atmosphere itself. to have three different geographic locations and yet be able to produce the same phenomena or very, very similar phenomena. Telling you that whatever is the energy on the planetary atmosphere, it's different from whatever it used to be.
Well, I'd be interested, because we've got three of them. We've got obviously three different points that this happened. You know, I'd like to know what the relationship is on a map to these three points. Because, who knows?
Well, it would be a triangle, because you got the UK, which, when you think about the latitude of the UK, it's not in the tropics, so it's above. Then you have Washington, which is also up close to Canada. And then you have Florida, which is down there. So you are looking at one huge triangle.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to be perfect or anything. I like things perfect.
Well, anyway. It wouldn't be, because it's on the surface of a sphere, so the angle, thing would be curves.
So anybody out there, keep your eyes out, and if you get pictures, I mean, think in terms of taking pictures, and you know, we'll see if this phenomenon continues. It could be the secret space program putting on shows.
What in the world is this big dog with teeth? What the heck?
What?
On my screen, there's a dog with its mouth open, baring its teeth while it's laying down. Did you post that on there?
No.
Okay, I'm getting out of it.
Did you have the video on of the image
with the rainbow?
You had that on.
Yeah.
So it was playing. It was on a new video.
Oh, a new thing. Okay.
I jumped into another video. Yeah.
Well, I don't have a rainbow, but my gosh, I've got so many different skies out there. There's a big, you know, how the clouds spread out. And they be one. Well, there's a big one with the that's black with rain in it. And then it goes, the sky gets the pretty blue, and it's got white, fluffy clouds in it.
It's called a catalog, Dolly. You have to tell the posse which one you want.
I want the rainbow.
There. Put the order in.
Yeah. So yeah. I didn't get a rainbow, but I got pretty interesting sky, and the lightning is over there, even though the rain cloud is over there. They're on opposite sides, so the lightning is to the east, no, the west, and the thunder cloud is the direction of the ocean. So that's east, and the lightning is on the west. Oh boy, I get directions mixed up. Anyway, it's very beautiful. Oh, look at what Texas posted.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's from a Star Trek movie.
Oh yeah, I remember that movie. Wow. I thought it was pretty back then. And I always remember that. The one place on the right of the guy, I can't remember if that was the bad guy or...
That was Malcolm McDowell.
That was Malcolm. Well, on the right side of Malcolm, there's light part that to me looks like a high heel.
Well, we're down to the 2 minute marker here, you guys.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you want to say goodnight to people or give them another little profound thought to take with them?
Just don't forget, things are happening, and they're happening fast lately. And manifestation happens even almost before I can think of it. So. Don't be surprised how fast manifestation happens for you. And don't forget to say thank you for it. And beware when weird things happen. Take a minute to try to remember it and try to figure it out. Gee, what was that for? And thanks for listening. And from Dolly World, I say bye-bye.
Walt?
Well, good night, everyone. Thank you for being here with us. My website is newparadigmtools.net. Thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Dolly.
Yes, and anybody that wants to know a little bit more about energy devices, go look at his just look at the pictures. They'll help you out. And we'll have the healing link where you can get tones and stuff. But everybody, thank you for being here. We will see you next week, and tomorrow I'll be on with Radio 5G, and we'll see where that goes. So thanks for being here, everybody. Much love.
Reaching the unknown, unknown, unknown.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening.
Choose your heart as a guide.